2016. Wow. It was an amazing year, a year of huge upheaval. I heard that the people that published the dictionary, the Webster, whatever they are, Webster people, they gave the year of the word of the year to 2016, and that word was surreal. Surreal. Because wherever you come down politically or whatever, it was a very strange year in the United States and in the world. And whether you love him or hate him, you have to admit that the campaign and the election of Donald Trump to the presidency caused a major earthquake in the world of politics and media and just the social climate in our country. Great Britain also shocked the world by demanding to exit the European Union. The massive advance of terrorism across the globe and even here in the United States has washed our streets with blood and sorrow. Police have been targeted and gunned down in cold blood. Violent crime has skyrocketed. I mean, murder in the Windy City in Chicago. It's just incredible how many murders take place there every week. People have lost faith in their government and have demanded change. Our country is bitterly divided, like no time since the 60s or maybe the Civil War. America and the world experienced a shaking in 2016. It reminds me of a prophecy in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6. I'm going to put it up here on the screen and ask that you help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations." What he's talking about here is political upheaval and social upheaval. Before the first coming of Christ, there was a major shakeup of the nations to prepare the world, to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. And Scripture promises us that before the second coming of Christ, a shakeup is going to happen as well. Now, I'm not predicting that Jesus is coming back next week. I don't know when he's coming. I just know we always need to be prepared. But whenever there's a great shakeup of the nations, as we have seen in 2016, it reminds us that God is at work because God is sovereign over the nations. Nothing happens outside of his great plan. And he is shaking up the world like a soda can. He is shaking it up. And God is shaking up things here at Stony Creek Church. Have you noticed? He did a lot of that in 2016. It was a year of shakeup for us in many exciting ways. We saw lots of new people come through our doors. We saw some people become Christ followers. We saw people get baptized. We hired another full-time assistant pastor here, Ken Leslie, who's really been really used of God to head up our office and our communications and our programming ministry here, and has really added a whole new dimension to what we're doing. And as more people have come in through the doors, we have become desperate for more room, especially back there in our kids' ministry. I mean, they are shoulder to shoulder back there. Things are popping back there. So where do we go from here? I believe that 2017 is going to pick up the shaking right where it left off in 2016. Today, we're talking about shaking up Stony. Shaking up Stony. Why do we exist as a church? Why are we here on Van Dyke? Is it just to take up space? Is it just to make us happy? Just to socialize? Are we a club? What are we doing here? What's our overall aim? What's our purpose? Well, our purpose, in case you don't already know, it's on the program every week on the back, but let me just share it with you here. Our purpose, our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus in this community and beyond so that God is glorified. More and better. Not just more. not just converting more people to Jesus, winning more people to Jesus, getting them saved. That's part of it. That's more. But also better. That means discipling people, maturing people in Christ. That's what we're here for, folks. More and better. Not just more, not just better, but more and better followers of Jesus. And it's based on Jesus' command that we find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, that says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And in that passage, he says, make them of all nations and then teach them. Teach them. So it's more and better. I believe the Lord is shaking up Stony for some big steps forward during 2017. And I want to share the vision with you today. If you're new to Stony Creek Church, I hope that you'll get some questions answered here today. Maybe you're wondering, what's this church about? Where's it heading? What's going on here? What's the destination? Well, I hope you'll see that and you'll catch the vision today and decide to hop on board. Now, if you've been here for a while, some of this may be review for you, but of course, the new year is always a good time to refocus, isn't it? To kind of look back and say, yeah, these are our core principles. This is what we're here for. This is what we're doing. Okay, let's look at three steps to shake up Stony in 2017. That's what we're going to talk about here today. And the first one, the first step to shake up Stony is to advance our process. Advance our process. You say, man, that sounds a little heady, Randy. What's going on there? Well, our process is our strategy for making more and better followers at Stony Creek Church. We introduced it last year. And our plan is to advance it this year. The easy way to visualize it is to think of a baseball diamond, as you can see up here on the screen. And you also see it on our banners on the side, but not in the baseball diamond format. As you can see, there are three bases and, of course, home plate, and each one is labeled with a C word: come, connect, commit, and coach. Now, if our goal is to make more and better followers of Jesus, and it is, well, how do we go about doing this? How do we first make followers out of non-followers? Make Christians out of non-Christians? Well, first base is come. Come to Christ. How do we get an unbeliever to first base? It's the first thing we want to do with somebody who's an unbeliever is help them to become a believer. Well, it happens through our praying for those people. Of course, that's a key element. And then personal evangelism, that's really the most effective, folks. Personal evangelism, sharing the gospel with your unsaved friends and relatives. Then, of course, outreach events. That can be helpful too, an event that you invite somebody to. Now, the main event for this first base is this 11 o'clock service, because at this service, not only do we teach the word to believers, but we also share the basic gospel message so that a non-Christian can come in, somebody who's a seeker, and hear what that person has to do to become a Christ follower. And last year, we spent lots of time and effort getting the word out through various means to our community, through different events that might help somebody feel like they could come out to our church and learn more. We had the men's euchre tournament last January and the women's painting night in January as well. So that was an event to, bring your friends to that may not be believers. We had the Easter egg hunt at Grant Park in March, where we handed out hot chocolate and coffee. We had the fishing tournament in May, where we invited friends to go fishing on some of the boats that we have here amongst our people. We had the Utica 5K run, where we handed out bottled water and an invite and a good word to the people. We also had our community days. We held out in our parking lot and our rummage sale. That was in May. We had Vacation Bible School in June. We had two different marriage events to which we invited friends. We had our youth missions trip to Atlanta in July. We had the road rally in August and the trunk or treat event in October. We had 550 people here for Trunk or Treat. These events help spread the word about Stony and bring people out to our 11 o'clock service where they'll hear the good news that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, that they can come into a right relationship with Jesus by repenting of their sin and receiving Jesus and entering into a personal relationship with Jesus as their Savior and Lord, the leader of their life and their rescuer. Now this year, we want to improve these events. We want to make them better and kind of hone them and do a better job equipping each of you to know how to form redemptive relationships with your unsaved friends and relatives, and how to share your faith with them, and maybe an invite out to one of our events or to our church service. And so we want to advance. We want to advance in getting people to first base. Let's talk about second base. Second base is connect. Once a person comes to Christ, we want to help that person fit in and connect with others at Stony Creek Church. How do they do that? Well, through Bible study, through prayer, through getting baptized, through our Wednesday night programs. That's why we call it Connection Night here at Sunday, because it's all about connecting with people and, of course, connecting with God. And we have classes and especially our small groups that meet in homes in various places throughout the week. First base is coming to Christ. Second base is connecting with Christians and deepening their faith in Christ. And I think this is probably where we did our best work in 2016, but we can still improve. People tell us here that there's just a family atmosphere, that they can sense the love, and that's really good, but we can always improve because, of course, we're not perfect, not yet anyway. Let me encourage you. If you're not already connected to others here at the church through a small group or a Wednesday activity or maybe the 9:30 service, dive in this year. Get connected. That'd be a great resolution to make, to get connected. This helps you to grow spiritually. This helps you to get built up. This is what the New Testament prescribes for you. And it also helps the church as a whole to grow and mature. And so check out our website. If you say, hey, I'd like to join a small group, go to our website and you can click on small groups there, and you will find a list of what they're studying and who's leading it and how you can get in contact and try out a small group. Also, if you've never been to our newbie lunch before, I invite you to attend that today after the service. Give us a few minutes to set up and that kind of thing, but it'll be back there in the round room. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never come out to the newbie lunch. Let me invite you to do that. It's a free lunch. We'll even feed your kids, all right? So come on out to that and meet some of us. It's very casual, and you can leave anytime you want, all right? Third base, the third C, is to commit. Commit to the church by learning what it means to serve in ministry and eventually become a member of Stony Creek Church. This is really committing to the church, becoming a member. Once you start forming relationships, let's say you get baptized, you made it to first base, you got saved, you start getting connected, and then you begin growing because through these connections. You get baptized, and now it's time for the next step of your growth, which is committing to membership. Commitment shows that you're serious. It shows that you have skin in the game here at Stony Creek Church, that this is your church, that this is your church family, that you believe in our mission and in our vision. If you're interested in membership at Stony, we have a membership orientation class. It's called Exploring Stony Creek Church, Exploring the Creek. And we offer it usually on Wednesday nights, but in March, we're going to offer it at our 9:30 service. We haven't offered it on Sunday in a while. And some people are saying, well, I can't make it on Wednesday night, maybe a work schedule or whatever. We're going to offer it on Sunday morning at 9:30, beginning in March. So if you're not a member and you want to take this next step, here's your opportunity to do so. I encourage you. You'll see announcements and you can sign up on your connection card. All right. Finally, home plate. Home plate is where you've rounded the bases and you're mature enough to coach others to become Christ followers or maybe coach other Christians in ministry. Many of you are doing this already. I see it happening all the time. Maybe it's in an informal way, or maybe you're a ministry leader and you're training somebody for ministry. That's coaching. Later this year, we want to introduce a method that the leaders are already using that you can use to take maybe a new Christian and help develop that person to become a more mature follower of Christ, or to help somebody to coach them along in their ministry or whatever it might be. And that will involve you taking somebody under your wing and helping that person to grow in their faith and in their ministry. And it's all targeted, folks. It's all targeted at making more and better followers of Jesus. Now, before we move to our next point, our next shakeup here at Stony, I want to ask you, where are you on the diamond? Where are you? If you think you might be inching your way to first base, you would consider yourself a seeker, but you're not a committed follower of Jesus yet, I'd love to meet you after the service and talk with you about how you can make that commitment to Christ. Or you could talk with one of our pastoral prayer team people up here right after the service. Do that. That's so important. If you're already a Christ follower, are you connected? Are you growing in fellowship? Are you a member? Are you plugged in to ministry? Are you being coached by someone, or are you coaching someone? Where are you on the diamond? I challenge you, wherever you're at, maybe you're just coming off the stands and you're maybe heading toward first base, wherever you are, I challenge you to make 2017 a year of advance. Advance. Wherever you are, to the next base or maybe more than one base, to make progress, to shake up your spiritual journey. Don't get stuck. Do it. Move forward. Let's look at the second step to shake up Stony in 2017, and this is launch our building plan. Ooh, this is exciting stuff. In 2016, the Lord made it clear that we need more space. And so we have been searching all different kinds of possibilities. We've been combing, we've been using the advice, tapping the advice of real estate people. We've been looking at vacant land. We've been looking at different possibilities of buildings that we might inhabit either through leasing or buying them or whatever it might be. We took an extended look at the Farmer Jack building, former Farmer Jack building at 24 Mile and Shelby Road. And at first we're talking about the possibility of leasing that place. And then about possibly buying the entire shopping center. And we have been thinking about that and praying about that and consulting different experts. And we even had an open house there back in October, and lots of you gave us feedback from that. Most of it was very, very positive. We sensed God is shaking us up. God is shaking us. Well, here's the latest update. You ready for this? All right, here it is. The shopping center option appears now to be a closed door. A closed door. But here's the silver lining. While we were working on that option, we had a plan B option that we were kind of probing behind the scenes as we were praying for God's leading and as many of you were giving us input. Plan B involved an extreme makeover of this building that would open up lots of more space. And you might be thinking, well, where else could you put anybody? You just hold on. Hold on. But first, let me tell you that Plan B has now moved up to Plan A. All right? And we are very excited about the possibilities. And I'm going to ask our associate pastor, the guy I've put in charge of this, this major project into his able hands, Chris Bordeaux. He's going to come up and explain more about this. All right, Chris?
Thanks, Randy. Good morning again, everybody. Good to see you today. We're going to get into what I'm calling Project Brittany. Project Brittany. And that is the building renovation idea. Oh, it's supposed to say ideas in there. That's the I. Building renovation ideas to talk about in the new year. Project Brittany. So, sorry, Randy, it's going to be called that from now on when everybody's sharing on Facebook. What's going on with Brittany lately? People are going to think we should be praying about a young girl named Brittany. when they read our social media. Well, Stony Creek Church, who are we? Randy's been sharing that. We're a place where families do life together, where we worship together, where we study and apply God's word together as we follow Jesus, as we become better followers and help people become followers in the first place. And it's our mission to share that hope that we have in Jesus with other people, to reach out to the community around us, to welcome them in here where they can come to Christ, where they can connect, where they can commit and grow to go on and coach other people. That's what we're here to do. But to do that, we need to keep growing. If people are coming to Christ and growing in Christ here, they're sticking around to keep growing, well, then this is going to be numerically a growing body of people, right? And so we need some space. And that's what I'm here to talk about, is how we can make some more space so that this building that we're in right now can reflect our DNA, the type of ministry we are, and so that we can minister as effectively as possible to the world around us. Now, some of the things I'm going to share, there's detail, a lot of detail to it, so I ask you to bear with me, all right? I'm only allowed to be up here for 9 more minutes, so at some point it'll be done, okay, if you're not a details person. I'm also going to turn my back a little bit so I can show you some pictures, but trust me, I'm not turning my back on you personally, all right? Though I am actually turning my back on you. All right. Well, here is our floor plan to our current facility. You see up here, this is the upstairs, and here is the downstairs. All right, so I'll orient you really quickly. First, in the upstairs, we use about 800 square feet. That's what this space is right here for kids' classes. That's down in the hallway if you go up the stairs by the check-in area for the kids. You get this spot, 800 square feet. Over here, this is actually behind that wall up there, is what I call the loft. And that's an unfinished area, but we do try to get away with some classes for teens and fifth and sixth graders on Sunday. And very embarrassingly, our women's Bible study on Wednesday meets back there, and it's loud, and it's not super clean. I mean, it's clean, it's broom swept clean, but it's unfinished. All right, now downstairs, we've got the auditorium. I am right there, and you are right here. Who is that? Let's see, that's Susan Bishop. All right, there you go. Behind there on the west side of the building are the offices and our baptistry. And then, it doesn't get hot enough for that. People have often asked, do the staff just meet in there, and it doesn't get that hot? Now, on the east side of the building is what I would call our common area and kids area. So you've got the entrance here, this orange space, which is the round room. That's where we're having that newbie lunch after service today. That is a shared space. So the kids ministry meets in there with their big group. They get kind of an exciting rally atmosphere, and then they each go off to their own small groupings of classes. But they can't set up permanently in there because it is a shared space. And on days like today where we've got the newbie lunch, by the way, if you're coming out to that, let me just say, I'm happy to listen to your renovation plans because I've made you listen to ours. So feel free to talk my ear off. You're welcome to do that there at the newbie lunch. But at days like that, there's a little bit of a balancing act of trying to get in there and set up tables, but also not compromise the safety of, you know, getting our kids checked out to their parents and that kind of thing. And so that's a little bit of an issue that we've got here, doing ministry more effectively. And then you see you've got the yellow area down here, which is our kids' classes. And as Randy said, they're bursting at the seams. It's just crazy how packed these classes are getting. For little kids, they don't have the room to run and play like they need to stay engaged for an hour long where they can learn about the Lord. And then this red spot here, this is our common area. It used to just be a hallway. We actually opened it up to be this big that it is now. But you know, after service, if you've been here at least 1 week before, that is where we really do connection, right? Because we're shoulder to shoulder, pressed in to each other as our kids run between our legs and we try to chase them down. It's just packed out there. It's uncomfortably packed out there. Good thing we love each other and almost all of us shower regularly because that place gets packed. And so here's what we want to do. Here's what we could do about this. What I'm going to show you next, don't go there yet. Wait till I say ta-da or something. This is the result of some conversations I've had with Chuck Binkowski. He was our general contractor when we built this place in the first place and will be again if we were to renovate here. Also, an elder, former kids director, works with our kids. He's just a small group leader. He is through and through Stony Creek Church. So not just a general contractor out there in the world, but he is Stony Creek Church. But the reason I mention him is to let you know these ideas that we're going to show you that the staff and elders have been praying about, they are rooted in reality. I'm not making stuff up, okay? We can do this. That's why I name drop, okay? Sorry, Chuck, I got to drop your name in there. But that's where it began, these conversations. So let me show you what we could do with this building, and then I'll turn it back over here to Randy. Ta-da! Okay. So upstairs, if we put in an elevator, that's what this green thing is here, and I don't know that it'll go there. Just bear with me, all right? This is my ideas, but we got to work with a real architect. We're meeting with him hopefully next week here to get started on what we really could do. But if we put in an elevator, we could add over 3,000 square feet and make a giant kids' wing, a space where there could be plenty of classes. There could be a big open gathering area that's just for kids. They can set it up the way they want with a nice stage or something. There could be a sitting area for parents with a play area for kids where they're safe after service. Parents could enjoy some coffee and chat, even during the week. You know, this could be used for multiple reasons, but we're talking about a whole big wing. Another thing you notice while we're still upstairs is we're talking about building a hallway on the north side of the building. That would be, now you can follow my pointer all the way to the back corner, that would be going this way. And you would see it, but don't worry. We're told that you won't hear people going like this when they're running down the hallway. So don't worry about it. It'll be solidly built. But this connects the east side of our building to the west side, which enables us to finish this back area here for potentially a large classroom, some storage space, and we've got our studio where we shoot those announcements and different kinds of testimonies and videos and things. But this would connect it all, so you don't need an elevator back there and an elevator over there. You know, now we're really taking advantage of the space. And this space right here, this doesn't exist yet, all right? We would build out the second floor to meet the auditorium wall. Right now, over top of the classrooms and the hallway out there is nothing. It just goes up like it does in here, just about. And so we could build that out and claim that space. We would also, in this plan, eventually take over this apartment area that we rent out currently. And yes, I have talked to the person who's living there. So this isn't, she gets to hear this before you get to hear this, because that just seemed appropriate. But we're talking about 4,000 square feet added all together, because now let's move downstairs. You see this big red area. What's this? Well, the first thing that we've done is this auditorium wall has been moved in. Chuck, this was his first idea, and I thought, this is crazy, but when Chuck says it, it's not crazy. And so that auditorium wall, you notice that space back there, there's a lot of space up there. There's about 10 or 12 feet that, of space before you even come to the added back row there that we put in. And so you don't lose any space, but if we move in that auditorium wall, we open up the space out there in the front area, right? And so the space where we congregate, where we meet, where we hang out, where people come in, that opens up big time space, without losing any space in here, all right? And so that would go, if you're get up later and you're looking like, what's he talking about? It go to about that first light is about where we are, just to get an idea. This, let me see if I can use that. This light right here. There we go. I'm really enjoying this pointer, Randy. Oh my goodness. Okay. Some more things that we could do down here to really open it up. Move this kitchen over here. We rent out the florist area here, and we could put a kitchen in there, open up the wall between, and have a really nice banquet area right here. This whole space now becomes open. When a guest or anybody comes into our church building for the first time, they can see everything. It's not just a little hallway where now you got to get around something to find where everything's at. You just see it when you come in. That's very welcoming. That enables us to do ministry. And finally, the last thing, in the auditorium, we could level the floor in here. Now, this stadium seating is great for a service, all right? And so you might be thinking, oh, but it's so good for a service. I can see you so easily in the back row. But that's the only thing that it's good for. You see, this is our biggest space, our biggest room in the whole building, and it can only really be used on Sunday for a couple hours and on Wednesday. You know, we use it with the youth, but even that, we're just down here. If we leveled it, this could be space that we could use all week long for events, for kids' activities. If we did that trunk or treat, we had 500 people coming through here, and they had to come down like this area, sneak down here, and come back out. That we could weave in and out more easily. Just a lot of big opportunities, banquets and things like this. Of course, we would raise the stage, you know, so that it's still raised up, and look at how high our ceiling is. It's not like we're going to feel cramped, you know, if we get up to the stages now this high. You know, that's not going to make us feel like, oh man, the ceiling's caving in on us. We're blessed with this ridiculously high ceiling here. And so what happens is we've opened up all of this space. There's still some kids areas down here for, you know, kids in diapers and parents with kids, maybe nursing moms, so they don't have to go all the way upstairs. But we got this big kids ministry program, because that's a large part of our church are the kids. And then we can host these great events and have a place where we're doing life together. This matches the DNA of Stony Creek Church if we open the building up this way. So these are some of the opportunities. In total, we're adding about 4,000 square feet. And how are we going to pay for it? I don't need to talk to you about that. That's not my job today. And so I'm going to turn things back over to Randy, and maybe we'll get there. All right, thank you.
Cool, Chris. Thanks for that 9 minutes of filling us in on what's going to happen. One of the things that Chris forgot to say is our auditorium would shrink a little bit if we brought that wall in, but it would also be able to expand over further because we wouldn't need that ramp anymore. so we'd get a bit of a wider, and I know some of the kids just love that ramp, but we've got a hole upstairs for that kind of thing. So the more I think about this idea, the more I think that this might have been the Lord's will all along for us to do that. And so the main objective, remember, the main objective is to make more and better followers of Jesus. A building is not our main focus, friends. We're not in the building-making business. We're in the disciple-making business. And so we've got to ask ourselves, what can we do to best make disciples? And so I think this plan would cost less and give us what we need to grow over the next, say, 5 years or maybe 10 years, and going to multiple services, so that when we do move, we'll have more people, we'll have more money, we can get a very, very nice place. This option is not just settling. It's not just giving in and saying, oh, well, I guess we just have to stay here. No, this gets us where God is taking us. All right, it's part of expanding. So my question to you is, what part will you play in helping to make this happen? We desire your input and your ideas. Most of all, we need prayer. We need your prayer because we want to be led by the Lord in this project. This is a family project. Okay, let's look quickly at the third step to shake up Stony in 2017, and that is raising money for the renovation. Yes, indeed, there's always a price tag, right? Nothing happens for free when you're doing something like this. But God is already priming the pump. And this is so exciting. Just a few weeks ago, we only had not even $16,000 in our building fund. Today, without even asking, we have nearly $28,000. And people have been already just kind of primed to do this and start. The Lord's been moving in the hearts of people to do this. And so for more on this vital topic, I want to bring up our wizard of the accounts. That would be our assistant pastor, Ken Leslie, and he's going to explain some more about this.
I see how it is. Bring the new guy up to talk about money. So, yes, that's good. That's good. Hey, in all honesty, Randy asked me to talk a little bit about this just because I have had some experience just in previous opportunities to go through what we would call a capital stewardship campaign. And so I just want to give you kind of just a quick overview. He only gave me 5 minutes, so I'm going to be as quick as possible. But, you know, interestingly enough, many times when we talk about projects like these, people often will joke and they'll say things like, well, if I won the lottery and I had $1 million, we wouldn't have to worry about any of this fundraising stuff, right? You know, or even people will say things like, we need to find a sugar daddy to fund all this. Chuck, where's Chuck? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But, you know, the same idea could be, somebody has actually said this to me before, not here at Stony, but I've heard this before. What if we found a sponsor like NASCAR? I mean, could you imagine it? We could change our name to Pepsi Creek Church, you know? And I gotta make sure the logo is visible. Pepsi. All right, there we go. So, you know, there's a $10,000 right there. Okay, excellent. You know, we could do something like that, but we would end up turning our church into something more like this. Let's take a look at what our church would look like if we were sponsored by NASCAR. You know. Honestly, I've literally heard all of these suggestions in the past, you know, from people from other churches and conversations with just general public people who think, where does the money come from? And I'll tell you, quite honestly, I believe that we have everything we need to see the vision that God has given us through right here, right here. It rests in us as a church. When we come together and we sacrifice how God leads us, nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to ask you to do something you really can't do or you don't want to do. This is how God leads you. But when we sacrifice in that way, I know that He will provide everything we need. Everything we need to get done the vision that He has given us. You know, there's so much biblical foundation to this. This is not just a 21st century how to take your church to the next level, seminar. This is biblical. You know, talking about the church in Acts, when they came together in Acts 2, and all the believers brought everything they had, and they had everything in common, and no one was with need. You know, it's a church coming together. Or how the Israelites, they brought their sacrifices, and they laid them at the feet of the Levites who built the temple, and they put the temple together with the church, with the body of God's chosen people. Or even, I love the story in the New Testament of the young boy, who all he had was a lunch of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. To every single person there, that was pretty much useless, but he gave it sacrificially to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it and did a miracle with it. You know, this is rooted in the Bible, but I'm going to give you just a real brief overview to give you just some tangible kind of things to expect over the next few months, okay? And so on your blank piece of paper, you could write these things down. You don't have to, but if you just want to remember kind of how this is going to work, it's a process to, and it's kind of 3 things. The number one is to understand the vision. That's part of what we're doing today. We're kind of unpacking that vision, but understand the vision. The second thing is to believe the vision, and this is not a used car sales pitch, trust me. Randy and the staff and the elders, we want to hear your opinions and your thoughts and your ideas to help guide and direct us so that we can all believe it together. And then also the third thing is to support the vision. So we want to understand the vision, believe the vision, and support the vision. And this is how it'll kind of process through over the next few months. The first thing will happen is called a financial feasibility study. Financial feasibility study. This will help us understand and know where we are kind of financially. We're going to bring in an expert. His name is Ron Norman. We've talked to him already. And he's a person not connected with Stony as on staff. He doesn't live in this area. He works for the NAB Foundation, and that's a foundation, it's an organization that really can greatly help give us insight and direction and planning so that we know really what we can do financially. They're the experts. We're going to kind of lean on them a little bit. And, you know, as early as the first weekend in February, that's, you know, that would be great if we could get that kicked off. We will be scheduling some super brief interviews. Ron told me, I think he said 5 questions at the interviews, but super brief interviews with a cross section of Stony Creek Church. So you may or you may not be asked to sign up or to be part of it, but a cross section of interviews will happen, and this is to gauge the feasibility of this project. And so Ron is going to then give us a report as to how to move forward. So that's the first step, this financial feasibility study. The second thing that's going to happen is about a month after this report, as the plans develop, and we will target a multi-week capital stewardship campaign. A capital stewardship campaign, and this is going to help really solidify us as a church as far as where, what direction, what are the concrete details of this event. But not even just that, that's going to really help root this in, as Randy says, we're not in the building project business, but it's going to help us understand that this is how lives will be transformed through our giving and our sacrifice and our really understanding in this vision. You know, each week we'll have Sunday morning messages. It's going to be a multiple week focus for this event. There's going to be multiple opportunities through small group question and answer times, through maybe some special question and answer events that happen, maybe even some worship events that really just get us on our knees praying and asking God to blow the doors open, maybe not figuratively, maybe figuratively, not literally. Like, that would be amazing. We pray and then the walls come down, then we know we have to move forward. But, you know, but the idea being is that over a course of many weeks, we'll be praying, we'll be seeking, we'll be targeting. Everything we do will be 0 point focused on what God is doing to help us just see his vision forward. And then at the end of the campaign, we will ask you to make pledges. These are long-term pledge goals. This is, you know, usually don't tell people the punchline before you get there, but I do want you to know we will ask for people to make long-term pledges. And this is a season of giving in support of the plan. It's not going to be just a one-time offering that we're looking for. This is a multiple year commitment to pledge over and above your regular giving to the church. Here's the key. Each of us, and you can begin this even today, but each of us should be prayerfully asking God, how are you leading me to give to this? You know, I know that not everyone can give at the same level. We all come from different backgrounds, different abilities. Some of you, God has entrusted much. For some of us, I include myself maybe in that, it seems that God has entrusted me with little, maybe not. But for each of us, the question is how will you sacrifice to see God's vision at Stony Creek Church, in Utica, in Shelby Township, in Sterling Heights, and as we continue to reach out and reach further, what part are you going to play in this? And what is God asking you to sacrifice? You know, we're not asking everybody to give an equal amount, but we will be asking you to pray that everyone could consider giving sacrificially equally. This is a big project, but as I said before, I believe that God has given us everything we need to see this vision through. Thanks.
You know, it is just fun hanging out with these two guys all week long. I wish you could hear the laughter that we three and the others that are on the staff on a part-time basis, we have through the week. It's just fun hanging out with Chris and Ken, and I count myself so privileged to work with them. How is God shaking you today? We're going to close up here in just a few minutes, but my challenge to you is to join the shakeup. Join the shakeup. For you, getting shaken up this year might mean connecting with a small group or joining the church. Or if you're new, maybe just making that first step of committing your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you need to get baptized. I challenge you to pray. And pray and ask God to show you. Pray for guidance in knowing your part to build Stony Creek Church for the future. God has you here today for a reason. Invest in eternity. We're going to, like I said, close our service. The ushers are coming to prepare for this morning's offering, and the musicians are going to lead us in a closing song. I think we can pass the offering while we're also standing. Yes. Can't we do that? Okay, so why don't we stand together and just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for putting us together in this church with this vision of reaching those around us with the good news of Jesus and getting built up in Christ and building others up in Christ. We want to do that, Lord. And we want to use every tool that you give us, every penny that you provide for us to advance that mission. Lord, as we give to you today, may it be just as an act of worship, given out of grateful hearts. And Lord, help us to decide what's the next step for each of us. Where are we on the baseball diamond? And help us, Lord, to have that courage, to have that faith, to take that next step. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.